whatever happens outside the church, it's real easy for it to just seep into the church. And instead of the church influencing the culture around us, oftentimes it's the culture around us that influences the church.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio, friends. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm your host, and I'm also a pastor at New Life Community Church. It's been an incredible journey for me. I'm 35 now. I came to Christ here at 17, and it's just been a journey of development and faith building. I love my church. I love being on this team, and I've been a part of church plants. I've been part of restarts, and that's because of the culture and the environment here at New Life. And I'm actually sitting right across from our senior pastor, Mark Jobe. How you doing, Pastor Mark?
I'm doing great.
You know, as I think about my story, my journey, and I think of all the other pastors on our team, I know there are other people in the city, there's other people listening that God may be bringing a connection to us in. And, you know, talk to that a little bit.
Absolutely, Joshua. We have a heart to plant new congregations all over Chicagoland and in other cities around the world. And we've currently planted in Santander, Spain, in Querétaro, Mexico, and exploring several other cities in both Europe and in South America. And Joshua, I believe that there's some young leaders out there that have a call of God on their life to plant, to pastor, to pioneer. And you may be successfully engaged in business or maybe just in seminary studying for getting a theology degree, but you're wondering, God, where do you want me? We're ringing the bell and saying, if you're out there and you're interested in church planting and you feel like you have a call of God on your life, then we want you to contact us. We are planting in Chicagoland area about 5 to 6 new congregations every year and outside of Chicago. And we're looking for people that love Jesus with a passion and have a deep desire to reach others for Christ. And so contact us because we would love to talk to you.
We've actually developed a residency program to help you take your first steps and get involved. Come and see us. Come on our website, newlifechicago.org. Click on Ministries, scroll down to New Life Cities, and you'll find videos and information in a way that you can actually contact us. We'd like to meet you, and we'd like to explore the possibility of working together and reaching people for Christ.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Today, Pastor Mark is bringing us the first installment of a brand new series entitled Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. In the series, Pastor Mark is going to help us take a very candid look at what it means to live as a believer in a society that's very X-rated. Our text will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Here's Pastor Mark with his message called Living as Christians in an X-rated Society.
I heard recently that some children were interviewed about their opinions on love and marriage. Kids always have an interesting perspective, don't they? And Eight-year-old Judy was asked, what is the proper age to get married? Judy thought for a second and then said, 84. Because at that age, you don't have work anymore, and you can spend all your time loving each other in your bedroom, is what she said. 10-year-old Jim was asked, when is it okay to kiss someone? Jim thought for a second and said, you should never kiss a girl unless you have enough bucks to buy her a ring and her own VCR, because she'll want to have videos of the wedding. And then 8-year-old Roger was asked, how can people make love last? He gave some good advice. He said, don't forget your wife's name. That will mess up the love. And that would do it if you forgot your wife's name. As we take a candid, upfront look and start talking about singleness, sex, and marriage, I'm excited about this because I believe every single person in this auditorium is touched by some of these principles. And I'm excited about it because I think we have some really wacky ideas about this topic that sometimes are very, very far from God's plan, God's design, and what God has to teach us. Now, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul wrote 2 letters to a place called Corinth. He wrote 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. About 2 years ago, I had the opportunity of visiting the ruins of ancient Corinth that are found currently in the country of Greece and study the history a little bit and look a little bit. It was exciting to walk where Paul had walked and see some of the now ruins, but some of the places that Paul had seen. And what excites me about the Corinthians is that I think the society and culture in which the Corinthians lived is very similar to the society and culture in which we live today. You see, Corinth was a cosmopolitan, prosperous, advanced, progressive city. It was a city of diversity. In fact, the Greeks, the Latins, the Syrians, the Asiatics, the Egyptians, and the Jews bought and sold, labored and reveled, quarreled and hobnobbed in the city ports. It was a port city, so it had individuals from all nationalities coming in. And it was a city that was very prosperous, a lot of merchants right there in a key location. Old Corinth had been a byword for when you wanted to call someone a party animal, you'd call them a Corinthian. In fact, the Greek verb to Corinthize, to behave as they do in Corinth, was used to describe people that were sexually promiscuous. In fact, in the old city, there was the famous temple of Epaphrodite. Catch this. Epaphrodite had a temple on the highest point of elevation on the city, and there was 1,000 temple prostitutes that served the sailors as they drove into that city. So their view of religion and worship was that these temple prostitutes would serve whoever went to the temple to worship. So therefore, it was a popular place for sailors. The city was promiscuous. In fact, everybody in those days knew what a Corinthian girl meant. Aelian, the late Greek writer, tells us that ever if a Corinthian was shown upon stage in a Greek play, he was always shown as a drunk. For all its reputation, though, Corinth was a progressive, cosmopolitan city that had a culture of its own, and lopped right in the middle of this culture was an emerging church, a community of faith that was trying to live out God's biblical designs in a culture that was far from God's originally intention and values. And so I love the writings of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians because I think we can relate a lot to them. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, between verse chapter 5 and chapter 7, Paul talks a lot about this whole area of sexuality. And today we're going to talk about living for God in an X-rated society. I want to begin reading in verse 1, it says, of chapter 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you of a kind that does not even occur among the pagans. A man has his father's wife. And you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Let me pause for a second and tell you the first observation of the danger of living in a sex-saturated society. Number one is we can easily become enculturated with wrong attitudes towards sexuality. The Corinthian believers were plopped in the middle of a society that was full of promiscuity, people sleeping with each other, viewing worship mixed up with sexuality, sailors coming in and out, all kinds of different ideas, a booming industry in this area. And so they were struggling to really understand what it meant to be Christian in this kind of society. And the Apostle Paul deals head on with some of the issues that they were dealing with in the church. In fact, he tells us, he brings an issue to light, and he says, I have heard through the rumor mill, or it's reported, that there is some sexual practices that are happening not outside the church, but there are some sexual practices that are happening right inside the church. Because how many of you know that whatever happens outside the church, it's real easy for it to just seep into the church? And instead of the church influencing the culture around us, oftentimes it's the culture around us that influences the church. I mean, it's natural. There are a lot of individuals here that just a year ago you would never have thought that you would have been caught dead on a Sunday morning sitting through a worship service. I mean, it was the farthest thing from your mind. But here you are now on a Sunday morning sitting in a worship service, worshiping God, Bible open, and you would have thought, wow, never in my wildest dreams. And there's a lot of you that are new to Christianity, and so a lot of the cultural stuff that you picked up over 30 years of living outside of Christianity, oftentimes we sort of drag it right inside the church because we don't know any better. We're just learning, we're being taught, we're trying to understand God's principles. And the Apostle Paul says, well, there's something that's happening among you, and there's an immorality of the kind that even doesn't occur among the pagans. The word pagan here really refers to Gentiles, those that are non-Christians. He says, a man has his father's wife. Now, more than likely, this was not his biological mother, but there was a guy in the church that was actually having sexual relationships with his stepmother. Where the father was, I don't know. But he says, the man has his father's wife, which means that this has the connotation of some sort of permanent type of union among them. It seems to be that they had moved in together and were sexually involved together. So this stepson is having sexual relationships with his stepmother. And the more shocking thing of this is not that it was happening, but what catches Paul by surprise is the attitude that the community of faith has towards this practice. Listen, he says in verse 2, he says, you are proud. The word proud here is also used as puffed up or arrogant. Now, what were they proud about? What were they arrogant about? Well, it seems to be that their pride and their arrogance was a spiritual pride and arrogance. And it was this sort of mentality. Look at what's happening here. And we are so progressive. We are so accepting. We are so non-judgmental that, look, even this couple, he's sleeping with his stepmother, and we allow him to come to church, and it's no problem. They had this spiritual pride and arrogance that was causing them to just not do anything about it, not confront it, and pride themselves in being progressive, open-minded, non-judgmental in allowing this to happen among them.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Living as Christians in an X-Rated Society, which is from our series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Pastor Mark's message is called Living as Christians in an X-Rated Society.
What had happened to the Corinthians? What had happened to the Corinthians is they had embraced the values around them to such a degree. What was valued there? Diversity, acceptance, tolerance, sexual practices. That was what was in vogue in their society. So therefore, what was in vogue in their society, they had brought it into the church. And Paul is saying, wait a second, you are not the society. You are the church of the living God. Your values are different. Your morality is different. He says, in fact, instead of being proud, shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief? The same word that's used in grief here is what's often used at funeral times, mourning for someone that's dead. You see, what had happened to these people, it's what happens to us. They had been exposed to so much immorality, so much living together, so much sexual stuff that they had literally become immune to it. How many of you know that if you get exposed to something a lot over and over, it loses its shock value on you? That you start growing accustomed to it. And first of all, you're shocked. How could that happen? But if you hear it enough and see it enough and watch it enough and are around it enough, after a while you're not shocked by it. After a while you start thinking it's normal. And if you're not careful, you become accepting of it and tolerant of it. And it becomes sort of natural. I mean, think about it. Some of you work with coworkers who just have really foul mouths. And you're around it so much, all the time, that after a while it just doesn't even faze you. I mean, they're blankety-blank this and blankety-blank that, and you this and you that and him that and this that. And after a while it doesn't affect you, really. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't, it just kind of goes in one ear, out the other. It becomes so normal to you. But if you're not careful, you hear it so much, you're around it so much, that if you're not careful, it may seep into some of your vocabulary and you find yourself, uh-oh, I just said what he always says. And so these people had been around it so much, they had been enculturated. And if you don't think that we live in a society that's X-rated, check out these stats a little bit. I call it the mainstreaming of pornography. At one time, pornography was an industry that was just isolated to the little shanty bookstores found in the seedy neighborhoods that people would drive their car and look around, walk in, and go behind the tinted windows to do their thing. But that little seedy pornographic adult bookshop has now become available to the click of anyone, any 11-year-old on the computer, on the internet, clicking sites. The most graphic, violent pornography is now at the hand tips of your 10-year-old. And we are now living in a society like never before where technology has allowed us to tap into the darkest parts of our society like never before. In fact, a couple years back, there was a documentary on 60 Minutes that told this story. They said that the sales of sexual films in hotel rooms, homes, and online has become a $10 billion dollar industry, according to Forrester Research of Cambridge, Massachusetts. General Motors, the world's largest company, now sells more graphic films through its DirecTV subsidiary than does hustler pornographer Larry Flint, according to distributors of the films. They also said that EchoStar Communications Corporation's number two satellite provider makes more money selling sex films than Playboy does with its magazines, cable, internet business, records from the company's show. The sex business in America is estimated to be a $13 billion a year industry. It is estimated that 60% of all websites are pornographic, and that Americans spent $220 million in 2002 at fee-based adult websites. By the year 2005, the amount is expected to reach $320 million. There are many free sites that are designed to get you hooked to become a paying customer. I mean, there's a lot of money behind this. And who are the people that are most likely to go to these websites? Teenagers. Imagine this. We are raising a generation of young people that is being exposed to more graphic sexuality than any generation previous to us. Now, we are only yet to see what will be the effects of that as these young men become adults when they're 25 and 30 year olds, people that have been exposed to more graphic, violent sexuality than any other generation that has come before us. Folks, we are living in some pretty perilous times. I mean, it's all around us. Not too long ago, I was driving on Archer Avenue, driving off of Harlem onto Archer Avenue, and I saw a billboard that made me cringe. When I got to the office, I said, we need to call the alderman right away and let him know, what is a billboard like that doing in our neighborhood? The billboard was trying to be a fancy advertisement for a couple sitcoms. the sitcom's Friends and the sitcom Sex in the City. So the billboard said this: have sex with friends. A family from our church that lives not too far away from the billboard walked by, and the 9-year-old daughter said, "Mom, what does have sex with friends mean?" It's ludicrous that our children should be having to ask those questions, because advertisers are blatantly, flagrantly throwing their stuff in our communities. But that is the kind of neighborhood that we live in. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there'd have been protests over a billboard like that. But we have become immune to a large degree to the kind of sexual explicitness that's all around us. And Paul was living in that kind of society as well. The Corinthians were experiencing the same kind of things. And so Paul says, hey, you need to get shocked again. You need to get a morality that surprises you again. That it's not just, I accept it and it's common and it's just the way things are. I run into parents that they just sort of assume, well, that's just the way things are among young people. They all experiment sexually and it's just the way it is. It's high school and, you know, kids at 13, 14 in high school are having oral sex and this is just the way it is. This is our society. And I want to say, hey, could you get shocked again? Could you get a little bit perturbed about it? Could you get a little bit excited about, hey, does it have to be that way? Are we going to accept it? Is it just the norm? Are we going to be shocked about it? Are we going to grieve about it? Are we going to mourn about it? Are we going to say, wait a second, it may be society, but it's not the way it will be within the confines of Christianity or in the community of faith? So Paul is trying to wake up the believers. He's trying to put a spiritual alarm clock beside their slumbering moral soul and awaken them and say, hey, wake up. Be shocked about this. Grieve a little bit about it. Don't allow this just to happen among you without doing anything about it. In fact, Paul goes so far, he says you should be filled with grief about it, and You should have put out of your fellowship the man who did this. In fact, he says, you know, if you don't get upset about it, you'll never take action about it. How many of you know that's true? If you don't get upset about something, typically you won't take action about it. Paul is telling these believers, hey, you need to be shocked enough so that if this guy is unwilling to change and he's still sleeping with his stepmother and you've approached him and you've talked to him and you've worked with him and he's unwilling to change, it comes to the point where he needs to be kicked out. And he goes on and leads us to the next point in this passage. The second point is this: we can become immune to the severe consequences of sexual failure as well. Not only do we become enculturated and begin to accept things, but we can also start realizing that there are consequences for moral failure. He goes on and he says in verse 3, even though I'm not physically present, Paul was in Ephesus at the time, even though I'm not physically present, I am with you in spirit. You see, the reality is every believer is connected spiritually, and what we do affects other people around us. And Paul says, I'm not physically there, but I'm present in spirit with you. And he says to them, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. We'll talk a little bit about this next week. But you know, sometimes this word judgment has gotten a bad rap. You know, Jesus said, if you judge, you will be judged. And there's a wrong kind of judgment. The wrong kind of judgment is the judgment that judges people's interior motives and judges their physical appearance and labels them. That is bigotry, bias, and judgment. But there also is a right kind of judgment. You should judge and discern who you're going to marry. You should judge and discern who you allow your 11-year-old to hang out with. You should judge and discern what movies you watch. You should judge and discern what books you read.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with his message called Living as Christians in an X-Rated Society. It's from his current series, Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. Join us on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.